Good evening. Another resignation in the Trump administration, the media and Bernie Sanders, and the future of Social Security. With these and other stories, I'm Paul DiRienzo with the WBAI News for Wednesday, February 19th, 2020. The Pentagon's top policy official who warned against withholding military aid to Ukraine last year resigned on Wednesday at the request of President Donald Trump, according to a copy of his resignation. John Rood, Undersecretary of Defense for Policy at the Pentagon, is the latest senior national security official involved in the Ukraine controversy to be forced out following Trump's acquittal in the Senate impeachment trial. The Defense Department had this to say.
The president has the opportunity and the ability to have the team that he wants to have in policy positions throughout the federal government. That's why we have political appointees. And John had the opportunity to serve in a senior position at the department for 3 years as an appointee of the president. But the president can make a decision to go a different direction. So I'm not going to speculate on the motivations that would be inappropriate for my position. I think John Rood's letter speaks for itself. I think the president's spoken about this and has put out a tweet or a statement thanking John for his service. So I would refer you to those statements.
Rood has differed with the administration on a number of issues, including Afghanistan and Ukraine. Officials have said Rood often was perceived as not embracing some of the changes in policy the White House and senior Pentagon officials wanted. And a London court heard Wednesday that Donald Trump offered a pardon to WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange if he said that Russia had nothing to do with WikiLeaks' publication of Democratic Party emails in 2016. Assange's barrister, Edward Fitzgerald, referred to a witness statement by former U.S. Republican Congressman Dana Rohrabacher, who had visited Assange in 2017, saying that he had been sent by the president to offer a pardon. Rohrabacher's statement said the pardon would come on the condition that Assange say Russians were not involved in the email leak that damaged Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign. A White House spokeswoman, Stephanie Grisham, denied the assertion. But as the Democrats prepare for tonight's debate in Las Vegas, questions about the election 4 years ago are still swirling. Did Russian hackers aid Clinton or her then rival President Trump? Or is it, as the president has famously said, all fake news? Did the Democratic National Committee plot against then frontrunner Bernie Sanders, as the emails indicated, or was it something else that propelled Clinton to the 2016 nomination? Michael Brennan is a graduate student in public policy at the University of Maryland and a fellow at the Institute for Public Accuracy. He just wrote Timeline, How DNC Manipulated the 2016 Presidential Race. He says the reasons are much more banal. It's all about the money.
The joint fundraising agreement between the Hillary campaign and the DNC, known as the Hillary Victory Fund. So they announced this in August 2015, and it's kind of the result of this change in campaign contribution limits that came out of the December 2014 must-pass omnibus bill. If you remember, there was like a government shutdown impending, and they had to pass this bill, and within it there was a lifting on the cap to party committees. So rather than the individual contribution cap of $129,000, it got raised to $777,000. And so what they did was they created this joint agreement where you would donate, an individual could donate up to, I believe it was something like $360,000, and then that money would primarily go to state parties, about $10,000 each. But then in May 2016, Politico reported that they were essentially using it as a money laundering scheme, where they were using the state parties to circumvent individual limits to either the DNC as a national party or the Clinton campaign itself. And then further, in November 2017, Donna Brazile came out and she talked about how within this agreement, it said that for Clinton to go out and, you know, get the wealthy contributors to donate to the DNC and the state parties, even though they wasn't actually going to the state parties, they would have control over the senior staffing within the DNC and control over the finances and the strategy. And so this is kind of an important point, I think, for today in terms of, you know, where does power emanate from within the Democratic Party? I think people have this assumption about the Democratic Party as the DNC is like where the power is, and then the campaigns kind of have to, you know, go to them for different things. But I think this shows that the Clinton campaign was where power was emanating from. The DNC was reflective of of that power. And, you know, what we see in the WikiLeaks emails, and which is in the news today, it just kind of shows the result of that, right? It shows that when you, you know, put people who are aligned with the interests of the Clinton campaign within the DNC, and then they have kind of internal bias in their emails, you know, it's not good, but that's kind of the result of like a fundraising arrangement that allows them to pick the staff internally.
Michael Brennan is a graduate student in public policy at the University of Maryland and a fellow at the Institute for Public Accuracy. It's often been said that Donald Trump was aided by the very media he decried in 2016. The coverage amounted to millions and free publicity to the former reality TV star. Is the same thing occurring today as Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders leads the pack? The day before the Iowa caucus, the blast against Bernie's so-called electability problem came from erstwhile Progressive Radio Network, NPR's Mara Liasson.
None of the candidates seem like a sure thing to defeat Donald Trump. Each of one of them has huge vulnerabilities for the president to exploit. We've seen how he's gone after Joe Biden about his son's position on a board in Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
Bernie Sanders, you don't even need to do the research part of Oppo Research because his policy positions are opposed by big majorities of Americans. He wants to ban fracking and somehow win Pennsylvania. Even a majority of Democrats don't want to end private health insurance. Majorities of voters don't want to get rid of ICE or decriminalize border crossings. But still, you see every single Democratic candidate in Iowa spending so much time and effort just trying to convince people they can beat Trump. Uniformly, across the board, that is every candidate's message. Right. I'm the one who can beat him.
What about Trump's standing? He's just looking like he's going to have weathered the impeachment drama that's unfolded in Washington. How's his standing looking?
His standing is either a glass half full or a glass half empty. He's the least popular incumbent. His approval rating has never crossed 50%. Majorities say they will not vote for him under any circumstances. His strong disapprove number is higher than his strong approve number. But if you talk to any dozen professional political people in the universe, they'll say he is the favorite right now. He's got a strong grip on his base, structural advantage in the Electoral College, all the advantages of incumbency. He dominates the media. He can use all the levers of government at his disposal. Witness what he was able to do even when he couldn't get the Ukrainian government to investigate Joe Biden. He's now got Republicans in the U.S. Senate saying they want to investigate him. And he's got an economy that is not perfect, but it's pretty strong. And he's got a story to tell about Black and Hispanic employment.
That was NPR's Mara Liasson. I'm not sure if I pronounced that right. I'm sorry if I didn't. A professor of media studies at Fordham University is Robin Anderson. She says the fight within the Democratic Party is becoming as heated as the fight for president itself.
Well, you've got a very progressive wing of the Democratic Party that is proposing very, very popular policies, everything from Medicare for all to family leave to a wealth tax. 50% of Republicans poll agree with most of those policies as well, ironically. I believe that it's the very kind of minority, if you will, these days of the corporate Democrats who just don't want to let go of their privilege and their power. And they are no longer really representing the people. They're representing, you know, not Trump in the same way, but they're representing the moneyed class.
This whole fight with Trump is about an insurgent right-winger against an aristocracy that's lost the support of the Main Street, the conservative people in America.
That's a very good way to put it. But the majority of Americans are now, and especially Democratic voters, are just so hopping mad. It really is true. He is an existential threat to our way of life and to the American Constitution, as we've seen since impeachment and everything that he's doing. Democrats are raring to go and get out there and vote. And the swing states that Trump won by a hair in 2016 now clearly show that he won't get those independent voters. The most important thing tonight, the debates are going to have healthcare industry advertisements saying, don't get rid of your private healthcare. Let's fix what's there instead of starting from scratch. I think it's important to notice that over 70% of the American public, especially Democrats, but also a good majority of Republicans, want Medicare for all. And a single payer plan is what the Canadians have. And I think even the corporate Democrats are trying to stop the movement for Medicare for all. And many medical institutions have now come out and said that this is the best way to do it for the health of the American public, and it's also the cheapest. And I think we just need to remember that when we look at the debates tonight.
Robin Anderson is professor of media studies at Fordham University. And hours before taking the stage, Mike Bloomberg came under attack from his Democratic rivals in a likely preview of his Wednesday night debate debut when the billionaire businessman meets his rivals on stage for the first time. Both Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden's campaigns took aim at the 78-year-old former Republican, the former raising questions about Bloomberg's health and the latter pointing out reversals on key issues. The attacks underscore how seriously Democrats are taking the former New York mayor's campaign now that he's rocketed to double-digit support in national polls and qualified to appear in debates. Bloomberg was a lifelong Democrat before winning the New York mayor's race as a Republican in 2002. He later switched to independent and formally registered as a Democrat last year. He's faced relatively little national scrutiny in his surprisingly swift rise from nonpartisan mega donor to top-tier presidential contender. But Wednesday night's debate in Las Vegas, where Bloomberg faces five hungry opponents in the first major unscripted moment, his first, of the 2020 campaign, poses the greatest test yet of his unorthodox campaign. And with the future of Social Security system, one of the issues that will dominate both tonight's debate in Las Vegas and the general election, Pete Buttigieg has become a deficit hawk, and Mike Bloomberg has recast himself as a savior of Social Security with a new plan to pump billions into the federal program for retirees. But Linda Benesch of the watchdog Social Security Works says it's all about a smokescreen to unseat front-runner Bernie Sanders.
Bloomberg's trying to downplay his past history and use friendlier language now because he understands that Social Security cuts are incredibly unpopular, not just with Democratic voters, but with independent voters and with Republican voters. And so he's trying to hide it, but what he doesn't say anywhere in his plan is that he will not cut benefits for current or future beneficiaries. He's leaving the door open. He's just trying to be stealthy in how he does it. But especially since Bloomberg in the past has been on video calling for cuts, Donald Trump actually isn't going to let him get away with being quiet about it. Now, Trump is also very bad on Social Security. He has a history of calling for cuts as well. But that's not going to stop him from using the issue against Bloomberg. And that's compared to someone like a Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren, who really could make this a winning issue in the Democratic presidential election, could say, Donald Trump is going to cut your benefits. I'm going to protect and expand them and be credible. Michael Bloomberg can't.
In a way, Social Security, it's the most minimum of payment in a lot of ways. The most, if you work at a really good job your whole life, every day, and never miss a day, what do you get, $2,000 a month? And most people get $1,200, $1,300 a month if they're lucky. It's not really a living amount of money. People still continue to have to work and find other ways to make money when they're on Social Security. What's the purpose of cutting such a meager thing?
Social Security benefits, they're extremely modest. That's why we need to be increasing benefits, not cutting them. And the best way to pay for that is to make millionaires and billionaires, people like Michael Bloomberg and Donald Trump, pay their fair share. But the purpose of cutting it, of going after it, is that Social Security, even though the benefits are modest, should be bigger. It's still an incredibly effective and popular program, and it proves that government can work. And people who are against governments, Republicans, right-wing ideologues, and billionaires who hate the fact that any part of their massive wealth is taxed away, they really just dislike the government. It's libertarian ideology, and they hate Social Security because it disproves that ideology.
And just last question, what do you expect tonight?
What I'm hoping to see tonight in the debate is that Bernie Sanders and perhaps Elizabeth Warren, too, will go hard on Bloomberg. They could do it on a lot of issues because Bloomberg, he's really a Republican who's running as a Democrat who's trying to buy the Democratic nomination. But I hope that they go after him for supporting Social Security cuts. And I think it's going to be very hard for him to answer that. Right. And actually, Bernie Sanders just about an hour ago put up a tweet going after Bloomberg for Social Security cuts. So that might very well be a preview of what we're going to see tonight.
Linda Benesch of the watchdog Social Security Works. And you're listening to the news on WBAI New York. I'm Paul DiRienzo. And as Bernie Sanders solidifies his polling as the front runner, far ahead of billionaire Michael Bloomberg, some voices in the Democratic Party are sounding an alarm that Sanders' policies may make him unelectable. Among the loudest voices is MSNBC host Chris Matthews.
With each of the four moderate Democrats duking it out for the same position, Sanders would never have to widen his appeal, never have to adjust his promises. He could win with just his core supporters. And if he doesn't need to moderate, to have to go to moderate Democrats to win the nomination, why would he even try to woo them? So buckle your seatbelts. We're heading into some serious turbulence.
And Professor of Communications Robert McChesney of the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign, says the real issue isn't Bernie's electability, but Bloomberg's billions.
Really, he could spend $1 billion a week all the way to the November election, and he would still be one of the 100 richest people in the world on election day. Money means nothing to him. So he's blowing money like no one else. And the first and foremost way he's blowing it is spending it. Is on TV ads. And he's basically buying up all the available inventory that he can find. And so if you live in one of the 14 Super Tuesday states, you'll be marinated in ads making you think Mike Bloomberg is the greatest guy in history, who just is just Superman. And so it has a lot of effect. So that will also give you good news because it gives you points in the ratings, so you're taken seriously. But then the companies that own our news media, their profits sharply increase thanks to Mike Bloomberg. He's giving them lots of money. It doesn't cost them a dime to give him space. And they're just getting really rich. So he's a popular guy in the front office of every news media broadcaster, or Facebook for that matter, and Google. And then at the same time, what Bloomberg's doing with his money is he's buying up everyone he can, either directly through hiring people at really high salaries to work in his campaign. He's hired a ton of people, or using his super PAC to give money to candidates, which he's done a lot of over the last few years to build allegiances that way, or just simply using his foundation to give all sorts of grants like he does to mayors, so that gets some support there. So the entire political class is pretty much, a big chunk of it's been bought off by Bloomberg. And those are the experts that reporters rely on to sort of interpret politics. Those are the people who are on the panels at MSNBC and CNN and NPR. So, you know, basically, it's all the stars are in alignment for Mike Bloomberg to get world-class coverage. Then you add to that, you know, the commercial media, the mainstream, the establishment is petrified that Bernie Sanders might get the nomination. And they don't even hide it anymore. I mean, it's admitted. They got this guy as their worst nightmare. And Bloomberg is their salvation. So that even increases their desire to see him succeed because they see all the other non-Sanders Democrats, without exception, pretty much floundering in relatively hopeless positions. So they're looking at Bloomberg as the great white hope who will save them from Bernie Sanders.
Can you point out some examples of what you're saying that were in the media?
If you just go to any of these cable news, every night they have this endless chats about the presidential race. From the get-go, Mike Bloomberg was taken very seriously as a really legitimate person to be a really good candidate and a great president by someone like Chris Matthews in MSNBC, who's one of their primetime stars. And I don't think he's gotten anyone especially critical of him. And it's all entirely due to his money. I mean, he's worth $60-some billion. He's one of the 10 richest people on the planet. And, you know, if any other candidate had $60 billion, they could do the exact same thing. Mike Bloomberg, without that money, couldn't get elected dog catcher as a Democrat. His record is horrendous. He would have a chance to survive in the Democratic primary process. But because he's so rich, he's bought his way in. He bought off the Democratic Party, too.
Do you agree with Bernie Sanders when he says that this guy is trying to, a billionaire is trying to buy the nomination?
That's an empirical question. Of course he is. How else can one explain it? He's spending, again, I think for mere mortals who aren't worth $60 billion, it's almost impossible to understand how much money he's spending. No other human on earth has ever spent this sort of money. We're in terra incognita. He's going to be spending enough money to get the nomination, the equivalent of every other candidate combined times five. I mean, it's just unbelievable territory we're in.
Going into tonight's debate, what do you see?
It's hard to predict. I mean, I think a lot of people anticipate the other candidates will really jump all over Bloomberg. And that may well be the case. They all have, each of them has a reason to want to go after Bloomberg and demonize him. He richly deserves to be demonized. But then there's the other side of the coin, which is that candidates have to be careful not to make the whole debate about Bloomberg, because that's what Trump happened to Trump in 2016, and that was instrumental in giving him the Republican nomination. Candidates have to remember they have to give people, voters and viewers, a reason to vote for them on their record, not just that they're not Bloomberg or in 2016 not Trump.
And that's Robert McChesney, professor of communications at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. And hundreds of thousands of people fleeing a Russian-backed Syrian offensive are being squeezed into ever smaller areas near Turkey's border under horrendous conditions and freezing temperatures that are killing babies and young children. That's according to the United Nations humanitarian chief on Wednesday. Mark Lowcock said the UN Security Council told the UN Security Council that the unfolding humanitarian catastrophe in northwest Idlib province, which is the last major rebel stronghold, has overwhelmed efforts to provide aid. He said nearly 900,000 people have been displaced since December 1st when the government offensive began. More than 500,000 of them children. Lowcock, the Undersecretary General for Humanitarian Affairs, said almost 50,000 people have taken shelter under trees and in open spaces. He added, "I'm getting daily reports of babies and other young children dying in the cold." UN Special Envoy Geir Pedersen echoed Secretary General Antonio Guterres' expression of alarm on Tuesday at the rapid deterioration of the humanitarian situation and what he called the tragic suffering of children. He warned the potential for further mass displacement and even more catastrophic human suffering is apparent, and an increasing number of people are hemmed into an ever-shrinking space. And finally, as the flood of Bloomberg ads, one of the most interesting is an ad that attacks a subculture of Bernie Sanders supporters known as the Bernie Bros or Bernie Bots. And it calls on those who felt the alleged sting of these people on the internet to call the Bloomberg ad and report what's happened. These Sanders zealots are often been talked about in a way that maybe overplays their power, but they've become a major part of the attacks against Bernie Sanders. Here's a part of that ad.
It is vitally important for those of us who hold different views to be able to engage in a civil discourse.
And as you can tell from the sound at the end, they are disagreeing with Bernie's assertion, Bernie Sanders' assertion in that statement. And most of the ad is in actual words that are written underneath. But they decry the so-called Bernie Bros and Bernie Bots, which many in the campaign say have been overstated and don't really exist. We'll be following that story more as it develops. And that's some of the news for Wednesday, February 19th, 2020. The news was produced with Linda Perry. Our engineer is Reggie Johnson. For the WBAI News, I'm Paul DiRienzo. One moment. I just want to remind folks that tonight's Democratic debate begins at 9 p.m. Eastern time and is going to be on NBC and MSNBC. We'll have more on that tomorrow here on the WBAI News. Thank you.